The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So hear this ending again. Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And in the next sentence of that gospel, Pilate echoes the question that has followed through the generations whenever we hear that story, and it seems particularly important right now in our society. Pilate asks, "What is truth?" How is it that we individually and collectively listen to the voice of Jesus to answer that question? Jesus says that it is about belonging to the truth that he has testified to in his lifetime. Listening, belonging to the truth, testifying. Those are the three weighty endeavors to take on this weekend after Thanksgiving. I hope you all are ready for that, strengthened yourself with that Thanksgiving feast. But three important practices to think about the week before the first Sunday in Advent. This is the last Sunday of Pentecost, the one that we celebrate as Christ the King. But next Sunday starts a whole new church year and a separate season. But this Sunday actually lifts up the fact that the kingdom of God demands our actions in the world in some demanding and powerful ways. Faith is clearly today a verb through the lens of our scripture in this last weekend. And we heard visions, didn't we? Powerful visions. And here are some of the questions that were proposed in various commentaries and places that popped into my awareness this week about this Christ the King. Listen and find the question that actually sort of nudges you a little. During this last year, who has been your king? Whom have we served through our words, thoughts, and deeds? To whom have we paid allegiance? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Do we live in the reign of God following the servant king? Do we live lives that reflect that service? Do we reach out to the least and to the lost? Do we seek to serve rather than be served? Do we testify to the truth of God? It is the truth that Jesus came to the world to bring love and forgiveness. The question is, are we citizens of that kingdom? For us, Jesus is the truth. Caroline Lewis, one of the commentators I find particularly relevant these days, put it this way. Jesus' kingdom is not, therefore, about determining the truth, but is the truth. His kingdom is not content, but character. His kingdom is not ruled by a king, but by a commitment. His kingdom is not a thing, but a person. I would say lots of persons. We are God's people, the people of God's kingdom first, walking in the way of love, following the truth with a capital T, straight into the hum of our everyday lives. Every day, not just Sunday. We establish our integrity through our character and our commitment. And we rise strong to that commitment by practicing our faith. One of the ways we practice is by showing up here on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who I am a huge fan of, has proposed a way to build up the kingdom of God. He has called it the way of love. How many of you have heard about these seven practices? A few. When they were introduced at General Convention last summer, I just sat there and went, thank you, Bishop Curry. Oh my goodness. Those are the perfect practices for the transition year. So you will hear them on and off all the way through this year. Practices are commitments to strengthen some part of ourselves. And when you live into the commitment on a regular basis in your life, besides getting stronger, what happens is that it actually opens up new visions and possibilities in our lives. Those practices actually pull us together in new ways as we recognize, name, and claim who we are as God's kingdom people. On the Episcopal Church's Facebook page this week, there has been, for about six weeks, there has been a steady stream of articles sharing these seven practices of the way of love. Each practice is described by a single word, and this week it was go. And the person writing the article described go as three things: crossing boundaries, listening deeply, and living our lives like Jesus. Go. And the author of the article was an African-American woman from the Diocese of Ohio. And her perspective, as I read through it, was so true, so honest, so human, I thought, this is the way we need to approach these, recognizing our mistakes that we make, the ways that we come at some of these practices, and what keeps us from stepping into them with our both feet. She said that crossing boundaries was, sure, we can do that because we know how to read a map, or we have our phones with the GPS on it, or we have a GPS. We travel. Sure, we could do that. Listen deeply. Sure, we can listen deeply, especially when we're with people that we know and love. And then she got to live like Jesus. She kind of went, well, let me get my phone and my special pillow before we go. What do I need to do before I actually go? I have to say that this week is my first trip to the Church Without Walls. and I have spent a little time obsessing on what I need to bring with me in order to do this thing, and I finally thought, you know, whatever I need, I'll have. I'm not going to worry about it. If I'm cold, I'm cold. But that's what we do. We kind of think, all right, if I'm going to do this new thing, I'm going to bring all the stuff that will make me feel comfortable. Instead of just thinking, no, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go. And what her diocese had asked of her, they wanted this African-American woman, sounded sort of middle-aged, to become part of a task force to help with the process of that diocese becoming beloved community. And she said, meeting with people in my diocese to create a community where we respect our differences and work toward racial reconciliation. Suddenly, I'm thinking about all the things I have to do that don't give me time to join this group. How real is that in our lives? We all have felt that way. And I have to say that a lot of times during my weeks when I'm asked to do something on the spur of the moment, I think to myself, oh, do I really have time to do this? But you know what? What I've come to understand is that what I need to think of is what's the next right thing to do? And I have to tell you, most of the time, it's to do whatever I was asked to do. And somehow, all the other stuff gets done, too. What's the next right thing to do? During this year, every single one of you will be invited to participate in some way in the work of this congregation during this particular transition time. So I thought, what better time than Advent to get ready to do that, to strengthen our faith muscles? So we're going to kind of get our practices on during Advent this year. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, the Saturday evening services will be particularly good for experiencing the practices that lie at the heart of the images that take us from darkness to light. We all have dark times, and practices help us to walk through the darkness and into the light. And that Saturday evening service, if you've never been to it, is really incredibly beautiful because it's in the dark. And so the light in here is very different. There are candles glowing. And I will tell you that I know that we have lots of candles at that service during Advent, or you did last year, but I've even added more. Because it's such a magical time to have a service. So if you haven't been to the Saturday evening service and you think walking through the darkness might be a good thing, show up one of those Saturday evenings. And then the 8 a.m. service will be particularly good at strengthening our bonds of the power to be found in small groups. Small group ministries and small group gatherings are one of the greatest ways to actually strengthen your faith. Having those conversations, feeling the community solidify around conversations, even when we think differently. And that 8 o'clock service, in fact, my experience is every 8 o'clock service in every Episcopal church in the entire world becomes this very connected small group. They also are really wonderful at accepting and welcoming new people. So if you've never experienced an 8 o'clock service, during Advent, you might actually try one. And then this service. Well, I thought this one will offer us the opportunities to grow our relationships and truly get to know the people in the pews around us. Can you name all the people around you right now? Honest? Yeah. Some of you are like, I'm not looking around me. That's okay. That's all right. I've actually gotten to the place where I will, You have to just mirror me. How many times have I asked you, can you tell me your name again, please? Because that's what I want to do. I want to learn your names. And I want you to learn each other's names. And I see more and more people beginning to wear those name tags. That would be a smart thing to do. Wear your name tag so that not just I can see them, but everybody else can too. So that when your next rector gets here, you can walk up to him and say, oh, I'd like you to meet, and then tell him the person's name, because you actually know the person's name. And you will. You will. In our gospel today, we are given the mandate by Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to strengthen our faith muscles for the journey ahead, to listen deeply, be willing to listen to what might not be comfortable, what might be totally different from your perspective, and find the truth in it. We're going to belong to the truth. We are going to belong to the truth with a capital T, setting aside our fears and seeing through the eyes of our heart. And we are going to testify. How about that? We Episcopalians are going to testify to the faith that we have. How many people have ever testified? One, two, three, four. Four people have testified. No, I'm telling you, I know that's not accurate. Because testifying, all testifying is simply telling your story. A story that helps you to share with somebody else how you live your life, or a story that just brought you joy. How many people told somebody else, family or friend or stranger, a story in the last 5 days? Raise your hands. Yes. You all have testified to your faith. That's all testifying is doing. We make this word a scary thing. It's not. It's telling your stories. That's all it is, testifying. Being willing to add your story to the collective truth of this place. It will take you places you didn't know you needed to go. And we are going to do all these things for one reason. Because God so loved the world. God so loved the world.